Bring them up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
Round two starts for the Cup Series in New Hampshire this weekend. And after the champion's crowned in Phoenix, he won't have to go far to celebrate his title. Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You listen to the Pit Reporters. With me this week, Dustin Long from NBC Sports and Carla Metz from the CW.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome to the show. Glad to have you with us. Glad to have Dustin and Carla here. And Dustin, we got to go, you know, yellow rookie stripe here.
This is, I know. I'm surprised you didn't put the tape on my back walking in.
So go gentle, Dustin, okay?
No, please don't. Just treat me like you would treat any other
okay.
guest.
Okay, Dustin's an OG. You know, this is like our 26th year.
Oh, wow.
It's 27th. So, yes, I'm even older than that.
There you go. All right. So, well, this is a tired subject, from Bristol last weekend. I thought it was an entertaining show because guys were having to manage tires, which is Dustin, what they're asking for all the time, and then they complained about it.
Well, again, let's be careful about how we describe this because, you know, after Friday's practice, nobody expected this. You didn't see the tire wear after 20 laps, 30 laps like you saw in the race. Obviously, it was certainly warmer conditions, and you just didn't see it. So nobody expected it. So then, you know, the drivers are saying, look, if we'd known, or the team's saying, hey, look, if we'd known this, we could better prepare. Because, look, if they don't get that extra set of tires from Goodyear, which, you know, again, that happens in situations like that, teams are out of tires. It's as simple as that. So, you know, I know crew chiefs are saying, like, look, 25 laps in, everything that we planned and thought, we just wadded up and threw out, and we're like, we're on the fly now. And so, yes, this is what drivers want. They want it, but they want the tires to last a little bit longer so you don't have to bring in that extra set and so that you can still manage it. But, you know, the idea that it's such a shock and a surprise to the entire garage or just about everybody in the garage, and there's a lot of smart people there, that's what you want to avoid. And you want to, look, at the end of the day, whatever sport you're watching, you want to be able to see the athletes compete at their highest level and not be hamstrung by tires or, you know, adverse weather conditions in other sports or something else. Look, if I pay to go sit in the stands, I want to see these athletes perform. I don't want to see them, you know, have to hold way back. And they kind of had to hold back a little bit more than they would have liked. And I think there's a happy medium there, and I think that's the next step for NASCAR to find that with Goodyear, so that when they come back to Bristol or at some other tracks, that you see more tire wear, but not to this degree.
Well, Carla, the interesting thing is Friday night in the Xfinity race, we didn't see tire wear like that.
Right.
And talking to the crew chief Saturday morning, they're going, yeah, but the car's just so different now, we really don't know if we can read anything into that.
Yeah, and I think that's what drivers say too, right, is just the cars are completely different. I mean, I think for the Cup Series race, it was very interesting to see them kind of adjust to all of the in-race things that they had to do. But honestly, I felt like the drivers were really cognizant after. Like, I know there were some people that were really upset about it and having to adjust, but I felt like they were cognizant not to be harsh on Goodyear, right? Because I think in years past,
this is what they
in
want.
The history, yeah. Right, like the history shows that, you know, when the tires did wear long ago in the history of the sport, like the drivers would complain about it, and that's what kind of got them into this Goodyear box of them not wanting to make the changes, right? So the fact that they're kind of going back on that, I felt like the drivers kind of wanted to make sure that they were lighthearted in some of their comments, but I think it's a good direction, right? You can't change if you don't try anything, and I think that's what we saw. And of course, the Xfinity race again is just so different, and I think, you know, obviously the temperatures played a part in the Cup Series race too. So.
And I'll tell you what, I think one thing that's going to be really interesting with this, look, this isn't the first time that they've been trying to soften the tires. They're going to have a softer right side tire at New Hampshire this weekend. It's been something that's been going on for the last year and a half, really a concerted effort. You got to expect that it's going to continue into the future. So one of my questions then becomes is, look, when you look at the Xfinity series, is how do these guys prepare for that step up to Cup?
Right.
Because now you're looking at a different challenge, maybe some different skill sets. Then, you know, just like the new car created some different skill sets for drivers, we saw some drivers do well and some drivers struggle for a little bit. I'm curious what this process is going to do, because this is not the end of tires being softened up because there's still more they can go. And how does this affect the guys that we see came up from the Xfinity Series, like Connor Zillage and some of these other younger drivers that we're going to see move up at some point, Jesse Love or whomever. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be a fascinating thing to see with the progression when we see these guys come up.
I always find that interesting, especially with the next gen car, how different they drive, right? Because that's the one thing you hear Xfinity guys, they go to Cup, they prepare completely different for that race. You also hear Cup guys that come down from the Xfinity, and then you ask them, you know, on a Saturday, like, did running today help? I mean, that's like the most asked question, right? Did running today help you prepare for tomorrow? And, you know, they usually give us some coach speak answer, but usually it's like, no, just really the lines of the track or the wall and where I need to run and all of those things. So it's very interesting, but I think, you know, I kind of come from like stick and ball background too. It's a very similar to like college football and the NFL, like some things just don't translate quite as much. But it's interesting to me that it is so different with the next gen car and the skill set is completely different. And I think that will hinder a lot of Xfinity guys from possibly moving up, right? Because there's just no carryover with this car.
Zillage is going to be fascinating to watch next season to see, because, you know, people are already talking about, hey, he has the potential to win one or multiple races on road courses next year and be in the playoffs next year. And maybe he will. I mean, you know, maybe this is the one talent that is so supreme over all the others of the young drivers we've seen through the years. But he's also human, and so for as talented as he is and as good as he is.
Is he?
Yeah.
he did not win last week. Yeah, maybe he is.
You got to think that there will be some challenges and struggles at some point. So I think it's we're stepping ahead a little bit here, but I think it's going to be fascinating to watch his progression next year at Trackhouse, and that's just going to be something to watch throughout the season.
I think, Carlo, the one thing that we're learning with this, trying to go with the softer compound is – the one thing that you can't anticipate, and that's the weather. I think we're finding out it's to some extent, it's very weather dependent on how the tires are going to wear.
Well, I mean, I think that was, you go back to what, the spring Bristol race 2 years ago or
24.
And they couldn't figure out what happened, right? Like, I remember the conversations after that race of talking to Goodyear and trying to figure out what they made the tires out of and what did they put a little bit more, you know, like the cording that we saw in that race was just incredible. Like, and that was kind of the first time that drivers have been given that element of surprise during a race. So I think that was the one thing I think that the drivers and teams at least could kind of prepare. Like, they've been there before. They've had to adjust on the fly before.
I think that helped them. It helped them once they got going.
They settled in a lot quicker in the race. I think, now that we've seen it play out twice in two different months of the year, right? That's definitely going to be a component. But I would love to talk to Goodyear and see like what they're testing and with the weather, like where that comes into play with some of their testing.
Well, and that's the thing too, is like with New Hampshire, they had the tire test earlier this year, and it was with Joey Logano, Ross Chastain, and who was the other one? I'm going blank on it. Christopher Bell. I'm sorry. So I'm going blank there. And so, but that was in a lot warmer conditions. So it's going to be cool this weekend sorry about that. I'm getting an alert. it's going to be a lot cooler conditions this weekend in New Hampshire. So does that impact things? Obviously it's different track, different loads, different characteristics, but how much will the weather impact things moving forward there? So that'll be fascinating.
The one thing I like is the comers and goers, and for people. But you said, and I would argue with a little bit on Dustin. I'll get Carla's thoughts on this. You said people like to see the guys go full out. Well, we see fuel mileage
I want to see them perform at their highest level, and if that means that they've got to modulate the throttle a bit, then that's one thing. But I don't want to see it so where they're, you know, again, it's normally you run 15 second laps at Bristol. They're running 17 and a half, almost 18 seconds. I think that's good to some degree, but it's like, let's get back into the 16 and a half range. Let's get a little bit more speed. But yeah, I do like the comers and goers and things like that. So I don't want them running at half speed, because I understand there's a talent and skill there, but it's still racing. So, you know, if I want to see, if I want to see half speed, I'll go out on the interstate when it's not 5 o'clock and watch some people drive 110 miles an hour or something like that.
Well, Carl, I want to get your thought, because I maintain that a fan sitting in the stands or somebody watching on TV can't tell the difference between a 15-second lap and an 18-second lap at Bristol unless somebody's telling them.
Well, I was just going to say, to your point, I feel like if you listen to some of the scanners of the guys, you heard that, right, out of their communication with their team that they weren't able to go 100% of what they would typically go at Bristol. So that's the only reason that we really kind of knew that it was different if you're not looking at the time. To your point, though, yeah, I think if you're at home and you're a casual fan, like, it's not – you're not going to know the difference of that. But I do think that the element of surprise with the tire certainly impacted the whole – at least the first half of the race, right? So I just think that's really interesting to see how they adjusted. But what would that race have looked like had they been prepared enough to go in there or already had the extra set of tires? Like, I think you just don't want to get into a race and then there's new elements added, right? Like, I think Goodyear NASCAR did the right thing by adding the extra set of tires, but I don't think you ever want, you know, that to be the case when you go into a race.
Yeah, because, you know, look, if you have a race where some people are managing their tires well and not having the issues, by introducing another set of tires, then you've taken away their strategy advantage that they have worked hard for. Right. Now, in this case, I don't think there was anybody that had that significant. Everybody was having the issues. It made absolute sense because you didn't need so many. You didn't need, you know, half or three quarters of the field running out of tires by the end of the race. That's just not good. So in that sense, I get it. But yeah, you know, there was that's why sometimes NASCAR will wait, because want to see how the race plays out. But this was pretty clear when you're courting tires 20 laps in and doing it again shortly after that, that this was probably going to be the issue throughout the whole night. And it made sense. So good, NASCAR, Goodyear made the right decision there.
For sure.
All right. So when we come back, 1 week after he was so upset on his radio, Christopher Bell was pretty happy when it was all over with. We'll talk about that when we come back.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Get your NASCAR fix with PRN's Garage Pass.
It's hard to just turn it around in 1 week, but I wouldn't be shocked if we did.
I don't think the results have been what we have hoped for or expected, but I think the potential in the cars and the speed has been pretty good.
You know, it's a big deal already, so that's a, you know, big positive for us. So I think now it's just about working together and getting better.
I think the Penske cars are still elite when it comes to plate racing.
Hi, I'm Mark Garrow, tracking the latest racing news every weekday.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good, others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back. Along with Carla Metz from the CW and Dustin Long from NBC Sports. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. You know, it's funny, at Gateway a week ago, Carla, we're hearing Christopher Bell upset on the radio. And then, you know, I had a chance to talk to Adam Stevens, his crew chief, this week. And I said, the folks who are so upset about this, it was heat of the moment. Right. I get that. And yeah. Adam said, you know, would you rather have a fast car that we're not winning races in or a slow car? Mm-hmm. Well, this week he had a fast car and he won the race.
That's right. Yeah. No, I think that was awesome. And I'd have no problem with him, you know, being that vocal. I think that's the one thing in racing that a lot of people don't understand is like there's that competitive nature, right? The competitive heart of wanting to win and wanting to succeed. And I think sometimes, you know, a lot of these guys are really cool and calm under pressure, but it builds up into these moments of like they're doing everything right and they're still not like – he was upset for, what, a seventh place finishing car. So I like seeing that side, especially from like a Christopher Bell who, you know, gets this rap of not having, you know, this big personality. I think we've seen more of that come out over the past a couple years. And he would certainly tell you that he's, you know, got a competitive spirit and has more personality than we've even seen, whether it's the Netflix show or on podcasts or that sort of thing. But yeah, it was interesting. And I think, honestly, I mean, you see him get that upset and then they turn around and win a race. Sometimes it takes that, right? It takes kind of getting everybody on the same page before you can really execute. And I just think that was pretty cool to see them go from that one week to a win the next week.
And I think you... certainly there was a frustration building the way he started the season, Dustin, with those three wins early in the year and then to have this long stretch before he picks up his fourth win.
Yeah, and the thing is he really wasn't that dominant when he won those three races. There's only one race where he led more than, I think, 10 laps in the race. So, you know, it wasn't like he was going out and doing a Kyle Larson thing, leading, you know, two-thirds of the race and dominating the field and scoring the win. And so, you know, that was one of the things he talked about was just there was a frustration that for as fast as good as they've been, they've not been able to lead laps this season. And, you know, again, so much is about track position. If you're not up front leading, then you get, you know, it just makes things, it compounds things, makes things more difficult to get that victory because now you're behind somebody and you're stuck in traffic or you're this or that or you get blocked on a restart. Now you lose three or four spots and now it's hard to make it back up. And now all of a sudden you're with a seventh place finish and you hear the crew chief say, okay, this is what we needed today. And that gives us a cushion, move on to the next week. Well, that, you know, look, Adam was right. It was a great finish in the sense it gave him a cushion going into Bristol. But as the competitor, moments after finishing the race, that's not what, you know, he's thinking. Christopher's thinking, look, we had this great winning car and we didn't get it done. And I'm upset and I'm going to let everybody know about it. And so I think, look, you know, like Carlos said, it's like you said, these are athletes. I mean, this is the playoffs. Yeah. This is what you want to see. This is emotion. You don't want to see guys get out of the car. You know, years and years ago, they used to get out of the car after a third, fourth place finish. It's good points day. Good points day.
Yeah.
Good point. And that's what everybody said. We got to get rid of them saying that. Hey, here's Christopher Bell saying it was not a good points day.
And I think this also shows where he is at in his career too, right? Like, and he's been in the championship for what, the last 2 years. And certainly at the start of the season was, you know, we're already thinking he's going to get there again this year. And certainly that could still be the case. But I think, you know, as young as he is, you know, the fact that he has that confidence and that leeway, right, to communicate that way to his team. I don't think he was being disrespectful. He was just showing in the moment how much he really cared. And so I think that shows a lot of maturity with his career and how comfortable he feels in the seat of the 20 team.
Well, and it's interesting you talk about that because that was one thing I asked him after the race in the press conference. I said, you know, what does winning mean? How important does it mean to you at this point? And part of his response was, in order to make it in the sport, you have to win. And I haven't won enough. And he says he's won 12, 13 in his career. That's not enough. And I need to win more. And it starts with every win gets, you know, I've got to do more. And it starts off with tonight. And so he's thinking about, you know, his place in the sport and what he needs to do. And hey, a dozen wins or whatever isn't enough. And I need more. I need more. I need more. And so it's that competitive attitude. And again, that's part of the reason why Christopher Bell has climbed up the ladder and come up through dirt ranks and has done things that we haven't seen as many people do and has gotten to this level where, you know, he could look at getting back to the Final Four again this year. And, you know, good for him on that because you can't be satisfied.
And you can't help but think, I mean, Chase Briscoe had just won. Denny Hamlin had just won. So, like, you know, like your teammate, you're like, I got to walk into the shop and know that the two guys around me have won and I haven't done my part to win yet.
Especially when I think I have the faster car.
Right.
And I'm watching my teammates win. It's like, good for them, but it's like, you know, this is hurting me. I'm losing out on playoff points.
Right.
And, you know, what's going to happen in the next round or the next round, things like that. So, yes, it's completely understandable. And I think, and he did talk about on Friday that, you know, seeing his teammates win, that was part of it as well. So you're right.
And his teammate, Ty Gibbs, had a dominant car for a lot of the night at Bristol.
Yeah, especially to start. And I think that's interesting, too, just with where Joe Gibbs Racing is at this point in the season. I don't know if we've necessarily seen this from them, like in the next gen generation to start the playoffs. So, you know, usually this is like where we're starting to talk about the Penske team, and maybe that'll be this next round or the round after that. But certainly JGR has to feel pretty good about where all of their teams sit right now.
I mean, especially think about it, Dustin. Last year, they didn't win after New Hampshire.
Yeah, New Hampshire
was in July.
Yeah. That was the 18th race of the season. Yeah. They went the second half of the season without winning, and then it was after the season when they said, okay, we're taking Chris Gabehart away from being the crew chief for Denny Hamlin and making him the director of competition. And when Hamlin talked to us last November at the banquet, you know, he was like, he wasn't as enthused. And it wasn't anything against Chris Gayle, because Chris Gayle is a very good crew chief. But it was just the fact that, you know, Hamlin knew he was at the latter part of his career. You know, it's easy to worry about, okay, I've got to work on this relationship with my new crew chief. We've got to get, you know, how we say and understand each other and go through that process. And for some people, it takes 8 weeks. Some people it takes, you know, 75 weeks, and that's a whole season plus. And it's like, was he going to lose a season in trying to get everything down with Chris Gayle? Obviously,
I was like, he's probably not upset about anything right now. Yeah,
yeah, really. It's interesting talking to Chris earlier this year, but he said there was a situation at Vegas that he called that he would call differently now because of just a better understanding Hamlin's mindset of like, let's not worry about, we don't have to worry about an 11th, 15th place finish. Let's go get the wins. We're going to get the wins. Let's make those calls for that thing. So Chris talked about, okay, I have to adjust my crew chiefing and my decision-making. And he goes back to the Vegas race in the spring was a good learning example. And they, you know, they've learned along the way and it hasn't hurt them. So, you know,
again, and they've had some really high highs and some really lows with some of the races that they've had this season. So I think that's interesting too, how they've been able to come back from that and still be successful. And he's still winning races despite like pit crew problems or just strategy calls.
Well, you think a guy like Ryan Blaney as well, seven DNFs this year, and he's tied for the most top fives and the most top tens. And, you know, as you mentioned, Penske gets strong this time of the year.
I'm just waiting for that to start. Yeah.
Right. When we come back, some new things in Phoenix in November and in March. Stay with us.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-859-0047. 800-859-0047. That's 800-859-0047.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Doug Rice of PRN. Join me every Monday night for another great episode of Fast Talk.
I watched the race on TV and they wanted to give him the mantle of greatest of all time, and he's won four races in a row. And so I can't do that yet. But I do think what we're watching is a guy who's changing the sport. He's changing the way the other drivers approach road racing. He's making them study. He's making them up their game.
That's Fast Talk right here on the Performance Racing Network.
local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, race fans, head over to echopark.com/speedway and enter for a chance to win a Toyota Tundra plus a brand new Thor camper. Visit echopark.com/speedway now and you can drive off a winner. Welcome back to the Pit Reporters. Dustin Long's here and Carla Metz is here. All right, Dustin, Mr. Indianapolis, you get a bonus when you go to Phoenix in March. You get an IndyCar NASCAR doubleheader. What do you think about that?
Hey, I think it's a great thing. I think obviously it works out really well. I'll take my NBC logo off for a second, but for Fox Sports, because Fox has the IndyCar broadcast for the entire season. They have the NASCAR races, the first 12 races of the season, so it's a nice pairing. Putting them together, we've seen that before at Indianapolis with our folks at NBC. We had it, and so it was. You know, I think it's a great thing that if you can bring the two leagues together and run more often. I was kind of surprised that they weren't able to make something like this happen potentially for Mexico this year and do it in the spring just before Easter, and you know, have, because there was talk about getting IndyCar there, and you think about a weekend down there with Pato Award for IndyCar and Daniel Suarez for NASCAR, that would just be great for both leagues to be down there, and maybe we'll see that next year. But yeah, it's a nice thing, and you know, hopefully see more of that in the future.
You know, we saw it on the road course, as Dustin alluded to, a couple of years ago at Indianapolis, but we haven't seen it. We've seen it with trucks and IndyCar together, like at
and
Texas.
And we'll see it at St. Pete next year, too.
Yeah.
Because the trucks will be at St. Pete for the first time next year.
But this is the first time that I can remember Cup and IndyCar together on an oval, which I think is kind of cool.
I think it's great. I think, you know, each sport benefits from the other being there, right? And I think it's more exposure for each. Obviously, I think IndyCar has more to gain, right? But I still think if you're a racing fan, to know that you can come and watch all of that at once, who wouldn't want to do that? And I'm certainly happy for a place like Phoenix, who does throw like really great events, right? Like that's just a great venue to go to. And they're not going to have the championship next year, right? So I feel like this is going to be a really big event for them as a track, and to really kind of take hold of that early in March. And so, yeah, I'll be excited to see that. And I think, you know, if you're like a driver, you're excited about this, right? To kind of join forces. I feel like some of those guys cross over, right, with friendships and that sort of thing. So it'll be pretty cool to see.
Anybody try to run both races?
I think that'll be tough. We'll see. I think you're more likely to see at St. Pete is there an IndyCar driver could get into a truck and run there. And I think there's some talk about that. Or even like, I think there's been some talk, could James Hinchcliffe, former NBC broadcaster, is now on the Fox crew, could he do something and maybe be in the truck race, which would be kind of a fun thing to see James run there, or somebody else. But yeah, it's, you know, I'd love to see Scott McLaughlin do it, because he's talked about different things like that. And so that would be fun and fascinating. And if it doesn't happen this time, hopefully there are more events like this that where you can start to see a little bit more of that. And in a good situation, and, you know, look at how much excitement there is when Kyle Larson's gone to the Indianapolis 500. You know, again, I would be great to see an IndyCar driver come over and do a truck or a Cup or Xfinity car or something like that. Again, the challenge for an IndyCar driver is just that. And at NASCAR, there's so little practice time, and so, you know, you get a little bit of testing time with a new driver, but other than that, that's it. It's really tough. Whereas for Larson, he had all sorts of testing for Indianapolis. And then you have like the week and a half of practice, so there's a lot of track time, and that it's still tough, but it makes it a little bit easier because you have more of that track time. Something these IndyCar guys wouldn't have with the NASCAR.
Yeah, I think your mind probably naturally goes to like Team Penske, but they would need so much time. You would feel like they would need to make that announcement pretty quickly to have the time.
Again, it would be great to see a champion like Alex Palou in a truck or in something else and come over and just play around in NASCAR for a weekend. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Why not? All right, the other news out of Phoenix is, and this is something I've been advocating for a while, and I'm glad to see that NASCAR is going to at least try it. After the championship weekend in Phoenix this year, 2 days later, they're going to have the season-ending banquet slash ceremony. I don't know if it's a banquet or not. It's a ceremony, though. In Scottsdale, to crown the truck, Xfinity, and Cup champions. That's it. They're done. These guys don't need to show up again for anything until Daytona. Well, okay, until
media
Gray.
Calls them until that, until Bowman Gray. That we need our production
That's
days.
Right. Until production days, yeah. But I think it's great. I think, these guys spend enough time on the road. I didn't mind the ceremony in Charlotte last year because so many of the guys live in Charlotte, but I think this
selfishly
is cool.
It was nice because you didn't have to travel for that.
I heard it wasn't near as fun. I've only been to the one in Nashville, so I can only speak to that. But.
it wasn't Nashville or Vegas or New York or something like that. But yeah, it was something you'd heard that was part of the plan with Homestead for next year, with the championship going to Homestead and to doing that. And again, we've seen that in the past at Homestead where they had I want to say it was the Xfinity and maybe the trucks had their banquet a couple days later.
I think that's right.
In Homestead. Now, Cup always had it someplace else, but that was kind of the model that the Xfinity and trucks used. And it's just kind of putting them all together and putting them on site. And look, you can go have meetings for that Monday or go play golf. And then look, obviously it's on Tuesday because in case of a weather situation type of thing, but you're probably... Okay, I'm not going to say it's not going to rain because I have been to Phoenix when it has rained.
Yeah, let's not do that.
And I don't want to jinx myself and be there. Nothing is Phoenix. Be there an extra day for something. But I think it works well, and I think it's a good model, and go from there.
Yeah, I think for someone like me, I'm newer to the sport, right? And so like from the outside perspective, I would be like, gosh, don't you want to go home and kind of like reset everything? But everybody that I've talked to from inside NASCAR are super excited about this change. And you think about last year, I can't remember when, I feel like it was like mid-November, like 16th or something, or the championship weekend was maybe like the 9th. Around that time. And then you think about the week after, I think was when.
After Thanksgiving.
Right.
So it's like late November, early December is when you're having it.
And so now you're thinking about the championship weekend because they don't have the Olympic break this year that also pushed it back last year. Championship weekend's around November 1st, and then just 2 days later you're done, and then you've got the rest of November. So I think for the sport and obviously for those guys that have been on the road for so long away from their families, like this is a really great change. So I have no, big opinion about it, but it'll be fun, and Phoenix will be fun because we'll all be out there anyway.
Yeah, to your point, good luck getting a tee time.
Yeah. Thank goodness there's a lot of courses in Phoenix.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, each week on the Pit Reporters, we give you a chance to go to goprn.com and vote in our poll. And this week's question goes back to what we talked about at the top of the segment. What do you think about the NASCAR IndyCar weekend at Phoenix? And your choices are, I'd like to see more of them, I like it better than the Indy Road Course, or they should stay separated. We'll see what you think. When we come back, the Xfinity Series gets a week off. How about that, Carla? Week off for you, but they've got the playoffs underway and the Truck Series getting ready to cut things down. We'll talk about that. Stay with us.
Hey, this is Michael Walter for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half the inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000, and car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 100,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure everyone drives away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Make your plans now to stay at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa when NASCAR returns to Las Vegas. They have great race ticket and room packages for you to choose from. The South Point also features a wide variety of excellent dining options at 11 different restaurants. Or you can enjoy the 16-screen movie complex and visit the 64-lane bowling center. Visit southpointcasino.com and make your reservations today. Stay where the racers stay at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
No one's paying me to say this, but you've been our lifeline. We have no internet. We have no TV. We barely have cell service. I don't know how I'm able to get to you. My Wi-Fi is not working. And I have a radio, and I finally got power on, and I have it plugged in, and I could hear you. You're the only station I can get in.
Wow. Well, that's I'm glad we're here.
So. Wow. The report that we got was that a severe tornado was heading right toward us. And I just want to commend you gentlemen for the job that you're doing, for keeping us informed.
I just wanted to say thank you for being on the radio and guiding us to, you know, where we can get help.
I just want to tell you, the first thing I heard was your voices the next morning. Oh, shoot. And it made me cry. The comfort of hearing your voices.
My respiration, perspiration, and aggravation are sky high, but you guys have been the guiding light.
Your local AM station makes a difference. We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back, along with Carla Metz from CW, Dustin Long from NBC Sports, Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right, Carla, you get a week off, and
That's
then
right.
you get to finish the season strong in the Xfinity Series. But the playoffs got underway, and we were laughing earlier. We found out that Connor Zilich is, in fact, human. He did not win a race, but he did finish in the top five. Yes, I speak for a living. For what, the 15th straight week?
Which is crazy.
It's and amazing.
I think he tweeted out after. He's like, I don't know what that says, that I'm disappointed with a top five finish. It's like, yeah, welcome to NASCAR. This is like what most people feel after a race weekend. But it was, you know, certainly for him to be in contention. And I mean, he is every single race. I think it'll just be interesting to see. You talk to him going into every race weekend, and he expects it to end. He expects this streak and his, you know, for there to be something that ends, right? And I don't think a top five finish ends anything, but it will be interesting, I think, these last, six races to see what the 88 team does and can they hold on strong. And I think you still just are looking, can he get to the championship four? Absolutely. But what about Phoenix? You know, I think that's just where your brain automatically goes, knowing how good Allgaier is there.
I mean, that's the thing. You look, he's 85 points above the cut line, which means he could skip the race at Kansas and still move.
He could have an extra weekend off.
Yeah, he could have two weekends off.
He's had some weekends off already,
yeah,
right?
That's right?
So, like, let's not jinx him. Yeah.
But I mean, it's amazing when you think about what the kid has done in 15 straight top fives. And yet, you know, he's still, to Carla's point, this thing comes to, I'm not going to say the flaw in the system, but it's the one thing about this system. And it applies in every sport, Dustin. Hey, the Patriots went undefeated all season long and lost in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I know the argument that a lot of people will make is that, you know, in the Super Bowl example, it's two teams versus each other. It's not, you know, 30-some other teams out there where somebody else that's not in the playoffs could have an impact where they blow a tire, cause a caution at the wrong time, and then that changes the outcome of the race. So I totally understand that. And again, you know, yes, it's we have seen drivers who have fantastic seasons not win championships. And we've had seen drivers who haven't won that often and go on and win the championship. I'll tell you, one of the things I'm really fascinated with the Xfinity playoffs is just the story of Austin Hill.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm curious to see what happens to him. Obviously, he had the incident with Eric Almirola where NASCAR suspended him for a race for intentionally wrecking Eric at Indianapolis as part of getting the waiver to be playoff eligible. Austin lost all the playoff points he had earned up to that point in the regular season and any other points he could have been eligible for. And so he started off with no playoff points. He starts at the bottom of the standings. He didn't have the best race last weekend. And so now he's 16 back. That's doable. But what happens if he doesn't make it? Is this impact the sport in the sense of, do other drivers look at this and have to be even more cautious? Or is it a case that, hey, you know, everybody is, it's an emotional sport, we're all human, and you know, the best intentions, you still may lose, may forget things and react in a way maybe you shouldn't have. But I'm going to be really interested to see his path getting through the next round, and if he can get there, and if he can move on to Phoenix. And again, then it sets up perfectly, you know, him one chance. So for
the round of eight, he's won at every track, I think.
So the opposite of Connor Zilich is where he could win so many races, get to Phoenix and maybe not win. Here's a guy like Austin Hill who had success in the regular season, but loses all his playoff points, has to maybe potentially fight, battle his way through each round. And then if he gets to Phoenix, hey, if he wins that, then he is the champion. So I think the Austin Hill story is going to be really fascinating. And again, just even with the, you know, his teammate Jesse Love, both Richard Childress Racing cars below the cut line right now. Jesse only 3 points back, so in a lot better situation. But many storylines, as you know, Carla, obviously with the Xfinity Series. But I think that's a really fascinating to see what those guys, and particularly Austin Hill, does.
Well, yeah. Carla, the guy I find that to me that I'm kind of keeping an eye on that is sneaky good is Sam Mayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's sitting third in points right now. He's 35 above the cut line, so you feel like he's in decent shape to get to move into the next round. But, I mean, you know, he had a shot at winning the race at Bristol, and he's been in a great position to win a number of races this year.
Yeah, he's been really good, and I think that says a lot to Haas Factory and kind of where they left off, right, last season with Cole Custer and just the information that team already had at Stuart Haas Racing and when they made that switch over. Sam is, he's very talented, and I think, you know, I think at one point over the summer stretch, he had, like, the most consistent top 15 finishes, and I think that's just, like, says a lot about his season. But you talk to him going into media day, going into the playoffs, and it was really interesting. He was like, I'm almost like sick to my stomach because I feel like if you like the eye test of their season, they would have been a lot higher in points than they were entering the race at Bristol. And so I think he's in a great position right now, but I think where that team feels like they've performed this year, they've kind of missed out on some of those extra points, and certainly the extra wins. I think it was obviously good that he got the win at Iowa. I think he, you know, could possibly win sometime in the playoffs. But yeah, I am definitely interested to see how he does. And, you know, I mean, he's the only one that feels like he could possibly reach Allgaier and Zilich right this moment.
Let me ask you, Dustin, though, how much is them announcing they're leaving Ford at the end of the year going to affect this?
I think that'll be an interesting thing to see is how that impacts Sam and Sheldon Creed and, you know, what we see moving forward. Obviously, Ford has an invested interest to do what they can to help them win the championship. But, you know, you're not going to have a whole lot of conversations with this group about anything for next year or different things like that. But, yeah, I think that's fascinating. Sheldon Creed with the runner-up finish, 15th time in his career, still waiting for a win. Is this setting up to be is this the year that he does like Daniel Hemric? Hemric had not won a championship or not won a race till he won the race at Phoenix to win the championship. So, you know, it's a long way to getting there, but boy, what a way to win your first race is if you also win the championship. And if you told Sheldon that, hey, you're going to have to go through this, but you're going to be a champion after all this, I think he'd probably go along and say, okay, that's maybe not going to be the most fun thing, but if I'm going to be a champion at the end of the day, then I'll do it.
Yeah, I think that would make up for all the 15th second place finishes that he's had. I think Jesse Love, too. I know he's, like we said, below the cut line right now, but I did have him in my championship four because he has been so good at so many different tracks. And I think coming into, you know, the last couple of races, he was really excited to get out of the summer stretch because the Xfinity Series went to a lot of really kind of weird tracks, right? And that's kind of what he told us. And he was like, I'm just glad to go back to a normal oval track. Now, of course, you've got the Roval thrown in there. And I think that makes every guy in the Xfinity Series nervous, except maybe a guy like Zilich, although Zilich hasn't ran it yet. So we'll see how he does there. But just his mindset, I think he's you know, really mature for his age, much like Zilich is, but they have two completely different personalities. Like Jesse, I feel like wears the weight of the world on his shoulders going into races. Zilich is like, I don't think he gets like shaken up about anything in life. And it's funny because they're best friends, and just listening to even Jesse Love talk about Connor Zilich and the type of driver that he is, he said, you know, it's anything a driver does is not natural, but I think it's the way that Connor Zilich kind of came through the ranks at such a young age that he makes it look natural. And that's kind of where we're seeing him, I think. And we said earlier in the show, too, that it'll be interesting to see what he does in the Cup Series. I think he's going to be really successful just because he's able to adjust to so many different things. But we'll have to see if he can win a championship first.
All right, when we come back, New Hampshire lies ahead, and that's a cutoff race for the trucks. Stay with us.
Look, yo, how do you feel today? Maybe you're a little hungover again, feeling a little embarrassed about a few things? Listen, why haven't you called yet to get help? Man, aren't you tired of feeling this way? So listen, whatever your party drug of choice is, there are ways to get clean and sober, especially if it's messing with your life. Hey man, we all have choices. You can make a choice right here, right now, today, to call the number I'm about to give you and start a brand new life without drugs or booze. I know it's hard to think about this, but imagine how great your life could be. And all it takes is one simple phone call. I've got a team of people standing by ready to check your insurance and let you know what it takes to get clean and sober. Okay, so get ready to save this number, because here it comes.
800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. That's 800-296-1140. Paid for by the Detox Treatment Helpline.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
These cars are about to fire it off in anger.
Logano back across the stripe. Now Zane Smith putting on some pressure.
Side by side, Austin Cindric has him at the line, and he will take the lead into one.
Boy, what a save. We got cars sideways. It's Christopher Bell. He spins and collects a couple cars. Here comes Shane Van Gisbergen on the bottom. He's looking for second.
Now Chris Buescher fired out of a cannon at turn two. He's right into the rear bumper of Ty Gibbs. Which way is it going to go?
Oh, it's a multi-car accident. I want to say 15, 20 cars. Looks like Austin Cindric is involved. Denny Hamlin. Guys, that took out about two-thirds of the field.
We have a fight on pit road between two crew guys. One of them is with Ty Gibbs. One is with Brad Keselowski.
Brad Keselowski will see the white flag as he drives under the start-finish line.
Chase Elliott has battled at the front all night long. He's won the war. Chase Elliott has just punched his ticket to the playoff.
Awesome job, man. Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
This is PRN.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
And hey, welcome back, along with Dustin Long from NBC Sports, Carla Betts from the CW. I am Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right, the Trucks got a cutoff race this weekend. We're just looking up, Dustin. 2017 is the last time the Trucks ran at New Hampshire. So let's see. Matt Crafton might be the only guy in the field who's actually run at New Hampshire before. let's see. Get Jake Garcia's 14 below the cut line. Chandler Smith's 24 below the cut line. Rajah Carew's 14 above it. Caden Honeycutt's 18 above it. You see one guy maybe making potentially crossing that line, or are we going to see it pretty stay the way it is?
Chandler Smith has some really tough luck, and he's been fast at times. And so if they can put together a good race, maybe he can make a jump, but I think he's going to need some help. That's a big point cushion to try to make up in one race. So, but again, I mean, you know, he's a teammate to Lane Riggs, and we've seen what Lane has done and how fast the front row trucks have been at times. So, you know, I wouldn't put it past him. I think the challenge is, you know, if he falls into a situation where he has to win to get in, okay, you got to beat Corey Heim. Mm-hmm. And okay, maybe Heim can be beatable, but, you know, with, eight wins, he's got 17 stage wins. So, you know, he's been gobbling up the points, and that's going to be the challenge there. So how, if you're Chandler Smith, if you feel like you need to win, then how do you beat that guy and then worry about the rest of the field?
And I think just with the way that truck races normally go when it's a cutoff race, right, there's a lot of people that are like have their whole season on the line, and what are they willing to risk? I mean, the truck series risks more than any series out there. So I think that'll be kind of a fun one to watch, I think, if you're a fan and want to see a lot of action. But yeah, you mentioned Corey Heim. I mean, he's just been the story this year, and it's like he takes him to school every single race that we watch with the truck series. And it's just, I mean, kind of the similar thing with Zilich, right, in the Xfinity Series, like, who's going to knock him off? Like, it just doesn't seem like he makes many mistakes, and so he's definitely the one to beat.
And you think about just, I mean, like you mentioned, Zilich and Heim, and just how talented these two are, and just coming up at the same time that, you know, is this something where we could, you know, potentially see a rivalry with these two guys at Cup in the future, and that would be, you know, how fun that would be because of how long they should be able to be in Cup and what that could be like. So, you know, obviously there's still some very young talent and some good talent up in the Cup Series. But, you know, you think about a guy like Corey Heim coming up and look at what finished sixth at Bristol this past weekend. Yeah. So great run for him in the Cup race to do that and to see what Connor Zilich can do. That you would love for them to run. And, you know, I don't think, and it doesn't look like Corey's going to be able to run for, you know, the full season. It'd be nice to have that as the rookie of the year battle between those two.
Oh, yeah.
Because that would just be that would just be so much fun to watch.
All right, Cup also running. This is the start of their round of 12. And it's going to be interesting to see. This is where Christopher Bell won last year, but it's the first time we really saw the wet weather tires run an extended period of time, Carlos. So you wonder if that gives Christopher Bell, you know, is that an edge for Christopher Bell? Or would he was he able to... Gosh, manage tires.
Yeah,
effectively.
Yeah, I feel like New Hampshire over the last couple of years, right? Like you think of synonymous with Christopher Bell. So yeah. I think, you know, coming in off a win and knowing that he won, you know, three in a row earlier this season, he has to feel confident going into this race. Like just the way that this track sets up for he and his team and just his racing style. And then I think you look in the past, you know, I know Ford had been good here, you know, like in years previous, but like Toyota's really good here and they're seemingly on a roll right now. So I think that's certainly the manufacturer to beat going into New Hampshire.
Yeah, I mean, Gibbs has had at least one car placed in the top two of the last 13 races at New Hampshire. Bell's won two of the last three. Gibbs has won the last three. You know, look at what Gibbs has done sweeping the first round. And so, yeah, it's, you know, it's going to be interesting to see who can top them. This is not a track that the Hendrick cars have typically run as well. William Byron does not have a top 10 there. Bowman's best finish is ninth. I think Chase Elliott's got three top 10s in his 11 starts. So, you know, not a great batting record for that team. So can they pick things up and have a better performance? Otherwise, they're just continuing to give away points to potentially these Toyota drivers. And look, I think points matter because you look at the end of this cutoff race in the second round is the Roval. I think a lot of people, I'm not going to say are penciling in Shane Van Gisbergen to win. I think they're putting it in pen.
They could, yeah.
Yeah. So, but you know, I think he's still, you know, you could still beat him, but it's going to take some help. But if he wins, okay, then that takes away a spot that automatically advances. So it's another position on points. You think about the third round Talladega in there. The possibility that somebody not in the playoffs wins. So then now you potentially could have two drivers at least making it to the championship four in Phoenix on points. So these points matter. And that's one of the things why I think it's a big thing we haven't mentioned is Chase Briscoe, a guy. He went into the playoffs at the end of the regular season, he had 10 playoff points. He scored 8 in the first round. He nearly doubled his total in the first round. And again, those points carry over to the next round and so forth. So, you know, I'm curious to see what Chase Briscoe does and how those points might help him move on further in the playoffs.
Yeah, he's 10 points above the cut line. The guys below the cut line, Austin Cindric by 1, Logano by 2, along with Chastain, and then Tyler Reddick by 3. Looking at the three races in this round, Carla, New Hampshire, Kansas, and then the Roval, those guys below the cut line, anybody you feel like really has to perform well this weekend because he might struggle at Kansas or the Roval?
I mean, I think they all do, right? I mean, certainly just how watching some of these guys in the last couple of weeks, they've all ran well at different points this year. But I it's interesting to me, right? Because I just go back to last year and Logano was our champion, but like the way that he got in after the Roval and then now like to see him and where he's at in the points, and they've had certainly some struggles this past weekend at Bristol. I think Reddick definitely has to do well, and you think about how good he's been on road courses in the past. But again, I think in order for any of those guys to feel okay, and I would say that even the four guys that are above the cut line, they want to get to the Roval being safe.
Yes.
To your
yeah.
point,
yeah.
You know, they don't. and you don't want to, I don't know, that's just like a really tight road course to have to be perfect at, right? So I think, you know, this round is interesting to me. And I think the interesting part of it, of all of this with the playoffs, with the Cup Series, I think, is we just haven't seen a guy be awoken yet, right? Like we did, you know, with Blaney the year before, Logano did as he got into the playoffs, but I guess we haven't gotten that far into the playoffs for us to really see that. But I'm waiting to see which guy is going to be that guy that steps up.
Yeah, Dustin may have hit it, maybe in Chase Briscoe.
But you know, I tell you, Logano is a pivotal weekend for him.
Yeah.
Because he was fast in the tire test. We've heard a lot of how strong he was, better than Christopher Bell in the tire test. Can he carry that through? Because remember, this is a guy that was eliminated last year until Bowman's car failed inspection yep. after the Roval. So this was a tough round for him last year.
Yep. All right. When we come back, white flag laps.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half of inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000. And car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 95,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure you drive away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
My fiancé is a veteran.
I did tours in Korea, Germany, and Bosnia before I got injured.
When Yusuf got out of the military, he needed help getting his disability benefits.
Luckily, DAV came to the rescue. They fought for me the same way that I fought for my country.
Every year, DAV provides life-changing support to more than a million veterans.
My victory is never giving up and finding more ways to serve.
He's pretty amazing.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Hi, this is Doug Rice at PRN. Join me for another great episode of Fast Talk.
We have NASCAR Hall of Famer Kurt Busch. What does a much older, wiser Kurt Busch want to tell Carson Hocevar?
Well, let's bust out all the VHS tapes and you can watch all my mistakes. Try not to do those, Carson. I like what he's doing. He's learning and he's putting his time in up front.
That's Fast Talk right here on PRN.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back. Time for our white flag laps. And first up, the rookie. Great job, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
We'll tear off that rookie stripe.
Thank you.
From the CW, it's Carla Betts.
Yeah, I think we were actually talking about this a little bit in the break, but like, where is Kyle Larson, right? And I know like in the standings, he's good in the points, but I just feel like, especially after, you know, he re-ran the double this year and that didn't really go as planned, we just haven't heard from him as much, seen as much of him. And I know he's still staying busy off the track. I see his kids getting wins right now too, which is really cool. But you just wonder, I don't know, we're just used to seeing him be dominant and being up front and being in contention of these races. And I just feel like they're like that car is missing speed. I think you could say that a lot for the Hendrick camp in general. But yeah, just where is Kyle Larson? And are we going to see him? You know, we are going to go to Kansas, a place where he's been really good and competitive at. So it'll be interesting to see.
Maybe he'll pull a Logano and just kind of pop up and win the championship. Next up from NBC Sports, Dustin Long.
Carla, I will tell you where Kyle Larson is.
Tell me.
He is behind Denny Hamlin in the points.
Yes.
And Denny Hamlin is the points leader going into this round after that victory at Gateway. And, you know, it's I think this is, as I said earlier, that this was a pivotal weekend, this coming up weekend for Logano at New Hampshire. I think the next two weekends are pivotal for Hamlin, who is not, you know, really thought as much of as a road course guy. And with the Roval there, I think the focus is, can they get a win in the first two races to where the Roval doesn't matter for him and help him advance and collect some more playoff points and move into the next round, move a step closer to getting back to the championship four, move a step closer to maybe this is the year. I like how he answers the question is, hey, is this the year that you're going to win the championship? He says, it is until it isn't. Maybe this is it.
All right. Well, I liked what we saw at Bristol. I liked the tire fall off. The drivers have been asking for it. That's why it baffles me as soon as they get out of the car and say, this was ridiculous. I can't stand what happened today. It's kind of like what we say. What is it that NASCAR fans don't like? Two things, change and the way things are. Well, guys, what do you want? Do you want tire fall off or not? You say it enhances your ability to drive the car. You had that at Bristol. Talk to you next week.
Join us again next week for the Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.